Things are a little reversed in the bulletin this morning. We'll have our welcome of visitors at this point. Each Sunday we have a tradition of welcoming those who join us for the first time or who return. If we have visitors today, we'll start on the on my right. We have an usher with a mic, and if you're with a host, they'll introduce you, or if you're here by yourself, feel free to introduce yourselves. Do we have visitors today?
My friend John Hostetler is here from Akron.
Welcome,
for his
John.
Annual visit.
On our left, do we have any? Okay. All right. Well, welcome to all of you. Our next two hymns will be led by Evelyn, Gathering Hymns, and Ruth will be accompanying her.
Thank you.
It's time for children's time. Children, come forward. Rick Stehauer will be sharing that time with you.
I promised Rodney I could take care of the mic, but all right, here we go. So, what season is it now? Do you guys remember? So last week, what did Bethany talk about this season we're in now? Remember, we're in Advent, right? And she put the praying hands up on the table. That was the first week of Advent, and today we are in the second week of Advent. And remember, in Advent we are watching and waiting for Jesus to come, right? So today our service is all about living in harmony. So people who can sing and play music know all about harmony. You could ask Evelyn about harmony. So sometimes people's voices, when they sing together, if they don't sing in harmony, it sounds kind of screechy and awful. But if they're singing in harmony, it sounds beautiful, right? So we're going to talk about living in harmony. And in ancient Greece, there was a man named Aesop who collected lots and lots of what we call fables, made-up stories that have a really important message. So we're sort of using one of Aesop's fables this morning. So here's a bundle of sticks, and Aesop told this story about a man who had some children, and he wanted to be sure that his children would live together in harmony. And so he told them, here's a bundle of sticks. Lily, can you take this? Can you break that bundle in half? Can you pass it around? Let's see if anyone else could break it in half. No? No? Uh-oh. So, you know, I intentionally got sticks that weren't real strong. But anyway, but that's great. This is perfect. Okay. So who is the strongest person in this church? So maybe the strongest person in this church could break this bundle apart, right? But, so what Aesop, in his story, the father took the bundle of sticks and broke it apart and gave each person, each of his children, one stick. Everybody gets a stick. And now see if you can break the stick. Whoa! Whoops, that's a short one. Take a bigger one. Who else needs a stick? So the message that the father wanted his children to understand was, if you stick together and if you work and live in harmony, no harm can come to any of you. You can all be strong together. But if you each go your own way and you don't live in harmony, then, you know, then if you're not living in harmony, then any one of you might run into problems and have trouble and You could get broken, right? Okay, so that's enough breaking, okay? So let's finish the story.
Oh.
So here's some sticks again that aren't broken. And we know that maybe the strongest person in here could break this bundle, right? We saw that. But we're waiting for Jesus to come. And Jesus is a really strong stick, right? So if we make our bundle of sticks and we're all focused on Jesus and we are all together with Him, then we're really strong, right? So if we all live in harmony with each other and with Jesus, then we can be very, very strong. So who could break this now? You think so? Okay, Ezra. No, no, no. You have to break the whole bundle all at once because we're all connected. Come on, Ezra. No, okay. You want to put it up on the table?
No.
Okay. So we're going to put our bundle back together and let's pray together. Can we pray together? Dear Jesus, we thank you that we can live in harmony with you and with each other, and when we are all together, that nothing can break us apart. So help us to remember this as we wait for you to come. In your name, amen. Okay, everybody pick up sticks and put them in the bag.
Great joys we have in our church is the Sister Song Group, and they'll share their harmony with us now as Sue and Hayden collect the offering. Bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we lift these gifts heavenward as a small token of the many and myriad blessings that you've bestowed on each one of us. As we enter this season of anticipation and then later of giving, we ask that you remind each one of us daily of the things that you have provided to us, that we may also provide to others as we journey through life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our worship. I ask that you turn to the back of your bulletin for a time of confessing and reconciliation. I'll begin. God of harmony,
hear us to walk in your way, but help us choose our own path, turn our own way. Save us, Lord, from the pride and foolishness of choosing our own course, that we may humbly and confidently follow your lead, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Throughout the tumult of life, God holds you close in love. Rejoice, because God's wisdom is your guide. God's compassion is your strength. God's love is your redemption. Come, let us walk in the way of God's heart. Our focus statement as at the top of your bulletin worship order is God's harmony is at hand. Come walk in the way of God's heart. Our scripture readings today are the scripture readings from the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10, and Matthew 3, 1 through 12. If you would like to follow along on page 558 of your pew Bibles, is the Isaiah passage. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. John the Baptist brought this message, Matthew 3, 1 through 12, page 784 in your pew Bible. In these days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Marv will now bring us the message, and that is the road to harmony.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
I'd like to begin with an experiment of sorts this morning. The task for you is determined if whether option A or option B sounds better. All right? Here's option A. There are stars in the southern sky, southward as you go. There's moonlight and there's moss in the trees down the Seven Bridges Road. That's option A. Rick's going to help us with option B.
There are stars in the southern sky, southward as you go.
Who votes for A? How about B? All right. That's what I thought. The harmony is almost as good as Mike and Bethany's. Not quite. As you heard the first few lines of the song Seven Bridges Road, I'm sure you noticed the beautiful harmonies and how this road, Seven Bridges, leads to this place of harmony. This song was performed by the Eagles, a country rock band formed in 1971, who have sold more than 150 million albums worldwide. This evening, the Eagles will be presented Kennedy Center honors for their over 40 years' worth of musical contributions. Rick talked about harmony with the children this morning. The One Dictionary references defines harmony this way: accord, agreement, peace, amity, friendship, fellowship, cooperation, understanding, consensus, unity, sympathy, rapport, like-mindedness, unison, union, concert, oneness. While the Eagles are one of the most successful and beloved bands in the modern era, and while their music blends these great harmonies, melding five voices together as one, behind the scenes, these guys were a powder keg ready to explode. While fueled by great ambition, they were also, especially in the early years, fueled by drugs, alcohol, and by egos run amok. The breaking point, we're told, came in 1980 when they were doing a benefit concert for Senator Alan Cranston of California, when, as Glenn Frey, one of the founding members, retells it, he heard his bandmate Don Felder, while on stage, insult the senator under his breath. And when confronted, Felder warned Frey on stage that after the concert he was going to kick his backside, to which Frey responded, "Great, I can't wait." Years later, Frey laments, "We're out there singing The Best of My Love, but inside both of us are thinking, as soon as this is over, I'm going to kill him. That was when I knew I had to get out." And so the band broke up in 1980, and at some point during that breakup period, somebody, a reporter, asked Don Henley, the other founding member, if the band ever had a chance of getting together again, and Henley famously responded, "When hell freezes over." And it took 14 years before the members of this hugely popular harmonizing band agreed to actually be in the same room together, reconciled, and once more they went on tour, with the tour being named Hell Freezes Over. The prophet Isaiah, this prophet and teacher, this critic, sometimes a referee, shares a vision with the people of Judah and Jerusalem specifically of this ideal king who is on the way. This oracle, this prophecy, comes at a time in which the chosen people of God are at each other's throats and have no respect for God. And so God warns them with these harsh words. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of your God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to be evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. On the surface of it, it would have appeared that their worship was respectful, it was orderly, that there was harmony. But God somehow saw through all of those regular rituals and saw what was really going on, what was really in their hearts. And here's the amazing thing. I think this is the good news for us. Despite their disregard for God, despite their temptation to run after other idols, God mustered the love and the grace to promise redemption down the road with the coming of this ideal king who would save them and save us. The king would be a descendant from the root of Jesse, a descendant of the ancestral line of David, which up to that point had a series of very disappointing kings. But this king would be special, would be great, would be ideal, with God's Spirit upon him. This king would be given the spirit of extraordinary wisdom, a spirit that provides the ability to execute plans, to match words with deeds. Oh, if only that were that simple. Like the eagles singing best of my love while wanting to strangle each other. Or a nation singing the national anthem with a huge chasm separating a polarized people. Or even like congregations and conferences and denominations gathering together to sing praise God from whom all blessings flow, or Christ is our cornerstone, or Jesus loves me, this I know, all the while tempted to judge and write off and condemn each other. We really need this king. This king would be given the spirit of absolute loyalty to the Lord, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, a recognition of God's authority and a willingness to submit to it in acts of obedience and loyalty. Oh, if only it were that simple. But submission is kind of an ugly word these days. Too often it's forced upon us by a system of rules and regulations and punishments that reflect more a spirit of vengeance and ruthlessness than anything else. But this king, though, desires that we submit ourselves voluntarily with gratitude and joy in our hearts. And loyalty. What does loyalty mean these days in which we see the world through the lenses of our consumer glasses? If one product doesn't please us, we don't think twice to jump to another. If we tire of one flavor, we switch because we can. In my hometown area where I grew up, just about every week when I speak with my father on the phone, which is our habit every Sunday afternoon, he gives me the latest update on who has left this church and who has left that church for another, jumping ship faster than I can keep up with. In some cases, because the other church offers something better, perhaps a better sound system or singing or a better children's program, or the new preacher is charismatic or a great storyteller or tells it like it is, no ifs, ands, or buts. We really need this king. This spirit-filled king will not judge by mere appearances or make decisions based on hearsay. The Spirit-filled king will have the ability to see right through the facades that anyone puts up, distinguishing righteous behavior from false piety. The Spirit-filled king will see right through the hurt and the pain that caused some to lash out and do so much harm to themselves and those around them. The Spirit-filled king will be able to see the genuine attempts that we make at faith, knowing the heart and soul of each person and recognizing that each person, each one of us, is sacred. We really need this king. The Spirit-filled king will treat the poor fairly, with justice and righteousness, will speak truth to power, and will not tolerate those who choose to exploit others. The Spirit-filled king will rule with justice and integrity. We really need this king, Isaiah's vision of this righteous king. And so it is with gratitude and joy that we recognize the arrival of this Spirit-filled king some 700 years later, made evident through the words of the prophet John the Baptist, the forerunner of this mighty, gentle, outspoken, and humble king who has come to save the people, come to save us and everyone around us. John the Baptist, he is an oddball. This ascetic loner, this outlier. Today, I don't even know what this word means, but does it make sense that we might just call him granola? Something like that, who dines on locusts and wild honey, while decked out in his finest coat of camel's hair with a big leather belt holding everything in place. I got a feeling the church I grew up in would not welcome John the Baptist through the doors just by his dress code. This consummate outsider who avoided the trappings of the religious elite, who lived in relative ease and luxury, he's got a message for the people, and the message is clear and concise and very plain and easy to understand, and it is this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The Spirit-filled king is on his way. Repent and be baptized as a symbol of cleansing, of starting over, of turning around and going a new way, of recognizing that God's love and grace is there for the taking. Oh, and by the way, this gift of grace, it's for everybody. There's no entitlement here. There's no free pass for those born in certain family lines, for those born in certain ethnic traditions. There's no pecking order. There's no categorizing by class. There's no elites at one end and deplorables at the other. In fact, if you want to get picky about it, we're told that those who embrace a servant's heart, who choose to be servants of all, well, the first shall be last and the last first. It's the way of the Spirit-filled king. And the kingdom of the Spirit-filled king, we're told, will be identified as a place of harmony, of peace. A wolf will reside with a lamb, a leopard with a young goat, a cow and a bear will graze together, unafraid. There will no longer be injury or destruction, for everyone will submit to the sovereignty of the Spirit-filled king. And all creation will be blessed, evidenced by peace, shalom, and bounty for all, everybody getting along. And what a vision of hope this is. We have a long way to come, and yet we live in a season of hope, anticipation, and celebration, because this Spirit-filled king has shown himself in the form of a child full of grace and truth. A couple of final thoughts. This vision, Isaiah's vision of this ideal Spirit-filled king that Doug read from Isaiah 11, do we dare place the characteristics of this king on our political leaders of the day? Is that what we expect of them? Are they the present-day flag bearers for other nations that Isaiah spoke of? I'm reminded of Jesus' words, his conversation with Pilate at his trial from John's Gospel. My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my servants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Then Pilate said, "So you're a king? And Jesus replied, "You say that I am a king. For this reason I was born. For this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." I'm reminded of the disaster of the Constantinian Compromise, the marriage of church and state, that continues to plague our national and global reality. So what is it then that we expect from or hope from our earthly political leaders? What are the appropriate standards by which we hold them accountable? And again, what is our posture? What is expected of us? Is it quiet trust? Is it a prophetic voice? Is it revolutionary engagement? Is it radical subordination? What is it that is expected of us? That's discussion item number one for adult, our second hour here this morning. And one last thought that I've stewed over for a long time and still do once in a while. Each of us will probably have our own answer to this. Do we live out our faith? Do we give out cups of water? Do we provide shelter and visit prisoners? Do we care for the sick? Do we do those things out of a sense of duty and obligation? Or do we do those things out of a sense of gratitude and thanks? And the conclusion I've come to, the answer is yes. Acts of faith, living out our deepest held convictions, must come from a depth of gratitude and thanks for God's love and grace extended to us. You've heard me describe before the last few years of my work at Welcome Inn before coming here to University Mennonite, and describing pastoral care for these beautiful, flawed people who wore me right out, and the system wore me right out, and when all the financing got taken away for my position, that wore me right out, and that last while I became very bitter, and I lost joy in life, and I found myself carrying out my duties and obligations minus gratitude, and I discovered how toxic that was. It will wear us right down. Duty alone will almost inevitably lead to bitterness. Gratitude, on the other hand, without a sense of duty, it seems to me, is vacuous. God's grace, recognized as gift, requires something of us, something tangible. It requires obedience, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, as the prophet Micah reminds us. Sometimes we do things because we must, not because we want to. Sometimes we must. And more often than not, doing our duty can lead to joy. Is it possible that our unique personalities play a part in this? Is it possible that some of us are more motivated out of a sense of duty and obligation, while others are more compelled to act by an abundance of gratitude? That will be another discussion item in the second hour. Earlier this week, our family hosted the Third Way Collective community meal, and I wasn't feeling that good. My head from my concussion was still kind of out of sorts, and I was kind of dreading the noise around the table. But we hosted this wonderful group of idealistic, exuberant, earnest young adults around our table, and it was a gift. Sometimes God's Spirit-filled grace comes in the strangest of ways, when we least expect it. And so this Spirit-filled King is the gift of grace we celebrate this season and every day, given to us as we journey through life in community, in solidarity with the one who has the power to heal us, to redeem us, to transform us, and to send us out on our way. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. If you'd like to follow along in your hymnals, it's hymn number 187 in the Blue Book, 187.
Let's switch to announcement time now. There are several announcements in the bulletin. And are there any announcements that you would like to highlight? Our service, it looks like, is ending a little bit earlier than normal. So let's plan on meeting upstairs for those in the second hour around 11 a.m. Let's target that. Esther.
Yeah, we hosted a party at our house last night and have a surplus of cheese, crackers, and desserts. So we'll be sharing those downstairs after the service.
Wonderful. Well, we may be going on till 11:10 if we have snacks.
I'm Joyce Hall, and first of all, I want to thank everyone who rang the bell for Interfaith Human Services yesterday. It was really rewarding to see the full bucket of money that will go towards people in need. So thank you so much. And I just want to encourage people to come out for the holiday home tour today. I think it'll be a fun time and a great cause.
Thanks for coordinating the bell ringing, Joyce.
Okay, I'm Jessie. I want to highlight in the bulletin, in addition to the holiday home tour, there's also the alternative Christmas giving thing at the University Baptist and Brethren Church this afternoon. So if you're looking for gifts to give that are not material things but rather are paying it forward, that's a really good place to go. There's 26 charities who will be there. And also to plug my own fundraiser for the Food Centers Project, I have hand-stamped holiday cards that I made myself, and they're really cool. and they're very pretty. And so the deal is, for a donation of $20 or more, you make the donation in somebody's honor, and then you send them the holiday card and say that you donated to help Center County's hungry folks in their honor. So I have the cards if you want to see them, and I have my little like money envelope if you want to donate. I have already had a couple of donations from the church congregation, so thank you guys for your generosity. But if you haven't, I would implore you to consider it. So, all right, thanks.
Thanks, Jesse.
Some of you have already put up your welcome, your neighbor's signs that have kind of exploded in our community. We have gone from the first handful of signs from Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg being claimed almost immediately to about 275 signs in our community being claimed, and more people continuing to ask. So there are about a dozen in the lobby here for the people who've already asked for some. 150 more are being printed and will arrive on Friday. So if you still want one, I think we have maybe 40 that have been unclaimed coming in this next shipment. In the process, this little project has raised about $750 for Third Way Collective, which is really cool. And I guess we'll just keep printing signs until people stop wanting them. Thank you all.
Thanks, Ben. And Jess and Paul and the Kathy, and then Jess and Paul and Roger.
I'm coordinating our donation this year for the Park Forest Preschool Christmas boxes that are given to each of the families. And you have one more week to bring donations. I see some are collecting in the vestibule. So please bring them next Sunday. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Rogers, and then Paul and Jess in the back.
Rogers McLean. I sent out an email about the State College Choral Society's what is hoping to be, this is their second annual a Christmas concert and sing-along. It'll be at Grace Lutheran Church next Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Choral Society will be presenting a short concert to begin with, and then there will be singing with the congregation. It was filled last year, and we hope it to be filled this year, but I think you'll have a great time if you can fit that in your schedule, and it's free, by the way.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rogers.
And to add to that, I think you are asked to bring a can for the food bank, an item, a non-perishable item for the food bank.
Okay, for the food bank.
Jessica McCormick. Joyce Hall. Is he running this morning? Is he running? Is Marvin running? Okay. If cheer on Marvin. He's running right now. So as a fellow runner, I'm thinking of him because it's cold out there and it's a hilly run. But so if you are out there and you see runners, just randomly yell, go Marvin. He might hear you. Also on the 11th, this coming Sunday from 2 to 4 is the holiday ice show at Pergola. I believe it is a $5 donation ticket, but we'd love to see you guys there. Thank you.
So Jess teaches most of these, if not all of these skaters. Is that the deal? You teach most, if not all, of these skaters. So, okay. Great. If there are no other announcements, then let's take our Sing the Journal 76. Turn to the Lord bless you and keep you. Sing the Journal 76. Let's stand for the benediction, and then we'll sing ourselves out. Friends, we've been reminded by the prophet Isaiah that God's harmony is at hand, and so we can leave this place with a sense of hope and anticipation that indeed we are representatives of God's harmony and peace. Go with that peace and blessing. Amen.